Okay. Patrick and I were talking, and I forgot what I was doing. All right, 776-5368. Love to hear from you if you want to join the conversation. We're reviewing the movie, Lord Save Us From Your Followers. It will be, or it's being held over, I should say, through Thursday. It could go through the next weekend, depending on how many people go see it this week.
Right.
It's a very provoking film. It is a sharp look at us and how we're being perceived in the world. And some people think it's gone a little too far, and I respect that. I think we needed this hot iron poke in the arm or in the side. You know, we needed to wake up and say, wait a minute, what are we doing here? The fields are white on the harvest. They're not coming into the church. And Jesus said, go out and get them. Go out and compel them to come in. And the three areas is condemnation, condone, and confrontation. I don't think you have any way of talking to a person about their lifestyle or who they are or their problems, or you call it the hurt and the need.
Right.
Until we build a trustworthy relationship.
Right.
I'm not even saying be their best friend.
Right.
But do they trust you?
Yeah. And you know, the other thing this reminded me of is that years ago, in my early 20s, mid 20s, yeah, 20 years ago, yeah. I spent a lot of time in downtown Medford every Friday and Saturday night street witnessing. And, you know, no one ever got saved in all those times I went down there. Because I didn't know who those people were. I was intruding on what they were doing.
Yeah.
I was, you know, to me, it just doesn't seem very effective. And then I never saw him again, you know. But yet in my office, I have the contrast of building relationships with people and being deeply involved. And
you ever been Mormonized?
Mormonized?
At the door?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold that thought. Hey, Bud, what's on your mind?
Bud.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just had to jump in. You guys are speaking my language here this morning.
I thought so, we might be.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess the one thing I wanted to mention was oftentimes we forget that people are operating off of their best answers.
Yeah. Good point.
Both believers and non-believers. Mm. And for whatever reason, as we look at the church, we have to realize that people have been whacking people with the Bible and evangelizing in confrontational ways.
I confess.
Because that's their best answer. That's what they believe is appropriate. And the same as the non-believers functioning in ways that are not appropriate, we have to come at folks with the understanding that they're operating off of what they understand to be their best answers.
Mm-hmm.
As crazy as those things might be, as, right. Confrontational, inappropriate, whatever. And so that's where we have to step inside their perspective.
Right.
And operate from within that perspective until they understand, hey, this isn't the right deal. This isn't the appropriate thing to do.
Right.
And then we're there to say, yeah, here, try this. This mm-hmm. is a much better way to approach life, evangelism, right. Whatever. So.
Yeah, and Bud, doing what you do at Youth for Christ with mentoring and working with young people, I can imagine it's you see that in a pretty heightened way on a regular basis.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole success of your program, Bud, there with Youth for Christ, is developing that relationship with that young person first.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And you guys, sure. I think people don't understand that you spent hours upon hours at any level of activity to create a trust relationship with that broken child in order to speak into their life.
Exactly. Okay. We have... Finally, because in the past, I mean, traditionally, we have done what we called relational ministry, but I got to tell you, it was really just friendly ministry. Yeah, we were welcoming and all of that, but it wasn't relational. And so we finally got it under control, or we understand the reality of it, is that, no, we have to be relational. We have to step into the person's life to
That's
the point
right.
where they know we care and mm-hmm. they trust us.
Right.
Because trust is the conduit for influence. It's
That's
just,
right.
You know, there's no Excellent. Other way to bring influence into a person's life unless
right.
they accept it. They mm-hmm. say, hey, okay, I see where you're coming from. I know what you're saying, and it's of value, and I trust you, and so I'm going to open myself to what you're saying.
You're the man.
That's awesome, bud. Keep up that good work over at Youth for Christ.
Thanks.
You guys do a great thing.
All right. I really appreciate this discussion.
Thank you. All right, Bud Almisen, he's with Youth for Christ, does a wonderful job over there, and incredible. And that's what it's about. He's learned from a young person's perspective.
Yeah.
That the relationship is the starting
point. And Bud's impetus is mentoring. And not only developing the mentor relationship, but Bud's developed some trainings for mentors to help people, older people in the church, you know, understand what that means. And it's a, you know, the church is the answer to this problem, ultimately. But we have to also look at, like Bud said, we have to prepare ourselves for that. I mean, we have work to do as a church. And this is, you know, I take some shots sometimes because I talk about how I don't think, you know, God doesn't need us. And I believe that totally. But I also believe he uses us. And when you understand how much he loves you, it really makes you want to go wash the street guy's feet because you've been loved in a similar way. And that's my concern with the church is that we haven't really been loved by God in the way – and again, not because God's doing anything wrong, but what you see in our behavior is a behavior that's not based in love. It's based in facts or it's based in religious dogma or it's based in, you know, a pride. It's not based in the humble reality that I, a sinner, have been saved by grace – by a God who's perfect, and I don't deserve it.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Hi, Ron, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, Perry, and I called yesterday, and I was one that was kind of going after Tony Campolo, I remember. Anyway, and it wasn't so much that either, because what you guys are talking about today is very, very real, because just to relate a thing, I met a gentleman that I had known for some time at a football, little kids football game. Mm. And there were some things that he said, and I played off of that, and we started in this debate about Christianity or what religion and stuff like that. And then we kind of had to end it, you know. But he said, call me. So based on the movie, based on the movie, but I was intended to call him anyway because I wanted to kind of see where he was. And it wasn't so much to try to convince him to that he was wrong. We just got in a good conversation yesterday. So, but he made mention too. One thing is that he was confronted by some pastor or somebody, and he says, "Do you know Jesus or whatever?" And he his first comment to the pastor was, "You don't even know me." So what?
Right.
It's none of your business. That type of thing.
So, you don't have the right to go there.
Right, and then what you're talking about this morning is building on is just getting to know somebody, too. Mm-hmm. And the movie brought that out for me, too. It wasn't so much the negatives that I saw were something that, you know, Tony was just angry, Tony Campolo, and then you got these other comics that ridicule things in a way. Mm-hmm. And then there was just this thing with James Dobson, and they put him in just a bad light when that man has spent his life trying to reach people and loving on people. So anyway, that's the only thing I had.
Yeah,
but
it did
ring true to me about how I am to deal with people. So that's one thing it does do. So,
excellent.
Anyway, God bless you guys.
Thanks for the clarification, Ron.
Look, there's some points in the movie that I wasn't comfortable with. I think the treatment of Dr. Dobson wasn't totally fair, but I understood why they did what they did. Okay, I didn't like it, but I understood it. And talking to the people at Focus, they liked everything about the film, but that obviously so.
Right. Well,
but they felt the film does touch the nerve.
And if anybody knows Dobson, they know he's not like that.
Right.
So he's not an. He's
I think
not
in
a,
the believing community, he's fine. But in the non-believing community, he's stereotyped. I'm stereotyped. I can't go. Look, I'm being uninvited to speak these days because I get invited and then they, you're that Christian broadcaster. We don't want you around.
Right.
Or they introduce me as the Christian broadcaster to stereotype me before I ever open my mouth.
And everybody gets up and leaves.
Yeah. All right. Hi, Frank. I tell you, speaking a little rough when there's nobody there. Hi, Frank. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
I didn't see the movie, but I intend to.
Good.
You know, Patrick, I used to do therapy myself, believe it or not.
I believe it.
And I know that some of the best therapists are the ones that have gone inside and looked at themselves and dealt with their projections.
Yeah.
You know, they said, I used to remember some of the things I learned about the best therapists are the ones who were in therapy, so that you know yourself.
Yeah.
And I believe that that translates and the same thing for Christians.
Yeah.
In the sense that if we're not in touch with our pain and have worked through it, then I don't believe we can really allow Jesus, if we don't identify with his pain and suffering, to soften our hearts.
Yeah.
Enough so that we don't go out into the world and evangelize in a legalistic way.
You know, I think, Frank, you make a great point here. What the movie does is shows just about every level of pain in society.
Yes.
And in that, everybody sitting in the audience can relate to one of those levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where God is calling you to. It may be maybe you slept under a bridge.
Yeah.
And you're going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you fought homosexuality. You're going to go there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you fought an addiction and some other, you're going to go there.
Yeah. Because you have compassion.
You have compassion. And there you go. All right. Thanks, Frank.
That has to be the centerpiece.
Thanks, man. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Let me see. Bill. Let me see if I can get all the buttons pushed here. You know, it's hard talking and pushing buttons. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good
to talk to you. Perry and Patrick, this is my first time.
Well, welcome to the show. Don't worry about the 15,000 listening in.
That's great. Everybody's supposed to go. Hey, you know, I wanted to tell you guys that I've seen the movie twice already.
Wow.
And this is a 1-2 punch to me, and it was quite an eye-opener. I realized that the author of this, to others, may have felt like maybe he was confrontational, but I think it was really something like us exposing us.
Yeah.
Maybe the way we've treated individuals. And I appreciated the idea of the confessional at Reed College and how the response was from the kids that went in. They were supposed to be confessing and finding out that the person who put it all together was the one confessing, you know, and all of a sudden they're no longer feeling like they're vulnerable. All of a sudden they're thinking, here's someone that I can trust, that I can talk to and tell my issues with. And there was quite the challenges.
Right.
But the Lord has been speaking to my heart in the last year, and that is, Bill, Jesus was a friend of sinners. And are you that kind of individual? And I like to say that I haven't been that kind of individual.
Right.
In fact, I think I'd like to say this. I want to confess, guys. I want to tell you that I'm a sinner. And I have treated people that were non-Christians in ways that were wrong, and in confrontational ways that weren't helping them, that weren't loving them, that weren't supporting them in some way. And that's not to say that I was condoning or anything like that, but I didn't see Jesus doing those things. If he did those things, it was to those people who were the religious, not to the sinners.
That's right.
You know, interesting, you know? And so I'm really sorry to those that may be non-Christians out there that are listening to this. And I want to tell you, I apologize. And I want to be a better listener and a man that's like Jesus. So please forgive me.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. You know, one thing this movie does, I think, is to soften our heart, not harden our heart.
Yep.
And think about this.
What'd you think of the film?
It really revealed in me I felt convicted because I've had a lot of those same judgments. But thankful at the same time, because it was such a beautiful conversation watching everything take place in the movie. So it was convicting, but it was inspiring, and it gave me a lot of hope.
There you go. We're talking about Lord Save Us from Your Followers. It is being held over through Thursday at Tinseltown. Whether it goes through the next weekend will be determined by how many of you go see it this week.
Right.
It's going to poke you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to come out of there poked.
Yeah. Well, I concur with what that woman said, because I was deeply convicted too, you know, about my need to be loving. And that's just the bottom line. And that's a spiritual deal. That's not something you get from better sermons per se or more books per se. It's an intimate relationship between me and God. And when I'm in that place, my humility level is a lot higher. When I'm right, you know, one of the things I say in couples counseling is if you want to be right, you can be. but you'll also be alone. you know, go. Always being right means you're going to probably end up alone because no one's ever always right except God. And so the humility factor is really important that we – that's the place we operate from. We are broken sinners who've been saved by grace, not none of ourselves, lest any man should boast. We're recipients of God's divine mercy. Why would we tell people that they're not? I mean, what qualified me?
Well, God has put his finger in the soup here, his spoon, and he has stirred the world, and he's stirred America. America's being stirred in a way it's never been stirred before. We're in a time and a place and with situations that we've never been before. And there's a lot of fingers to point in various directions to what the problem
right.
is. But the net result of what's happening here, there's a field white under harvest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sad that the Christians run to you or they call us.
Yeah.
They don't go to their pastor.
Right.
Not, you know, I'm not saying all, but
right.
the vast majority of those that we hear from are already plugged into a church.
That's right.
and then there's this world out there that's trying to make sense of the world. And we who know what's going on are trying to make sense of the world. And
right.
we're leaving those in the dark in the dark.
Right.
And I just can't believe that we don't see how incredible the opportunity is to witness. And I'm talking not necessarily evangelistic crusades. Those have their place.
Yeah.
That still fill up primarily with Christians. I'm talking about if you're a school teacher, you're going to win another school teacher. If you're a truck driver, you're going to win another truck mm-hmm. driver. And the list goes on and on.
Right. And so that's really what you see with Jesus is that mm-hmm. he didn't have big productions. He just was with people, and then he talked to those people, and he met them. And then it was more viral. And that's the way the church should be. And that's why I believe that the church thrives in persecuted situations because – It's more viral and it's less production oriented.
Lori, what's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to share the person that touched me deepest in the movie was the man dressed as, was she a nun?
Yes, Sister Mary.
Purity.
Yeah.
And it touched me because I see, I guess I want my comment to address parents with little children. I see it's the little child that we come into this world with what I like to call the triple A needs, attention, affection, and approval. Uh-huh. And that little child is looking for those things from the parents. And
that's
when
right.
they're not there, those needs just shrivel. And someplace they come out, this woman, this man, was saying, I need to be seen as good. So I guess I'm saying I see the little boy yearning and seeking his mother's love.
I saw
a little girl seeking her father's love, and it's painful.
Very much so.
I saw the same thing, Lori. I saw a little boy that all of a sudden became a man, but still a little boy.
Stuck at that point
and very, very broken.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it? Attention, affection, what's the other one?
Approval.
Yeah.
Love, actually. Yeah.
Can I tell on Lori a little bit?
Yeah.
I think that Lori knows what she's talking about. Weren't you a longtime marriage and family therapist, Lori?
A child development and marriage family counseling. Mm-hmm. It was when I was doing chemical dependency counseling that I began to really see where this brokenness was.
Exactly. And, you know, you also worked with a lot of sexual abuse victims, didn't you?
I wouldn't say a lot, but yes.
Mm-hmm. So you understand this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's really important. And I'm so glad you called to point those things out because I'm like you, Lori. I believe that parent-child relationship is so profound to the formation of health emotionally in a person And we need to keep that in mind as we're dealing with folks who are really torn up.
Thank you, Lori.
Well, the yearning of my heart to parents is your little child is crying out to be loved, to be shown respect, to be talked to respectfully, like someone God values. There, that's it.
Wow, really well said. Awesome. Thank you, Lori.
Bye.
God bless you. What a powerful, powerful thing, you know. And if she, as a therapist, went there and got that out of the movie,
yeah, exactly.
It's got to be revolutionary. All right, hi, Clem.
How are you guys?
Hi, Clem.
Fine. Hi. She kind of said what I was going to say, but there was two things that touched my heart. One was that, especially when they talked about knowing him. You know, he shared. You know that I think his mom died when he was really small and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That just blew me away. But the other thing that really caught my attention, and I don't know if you guys talked about it earlier, but the fact that when people were asked what they thought of Jesus, most of those people were like, I mean, they saw Jesus like we see him, you know, mm-hmm. just amazing. And then when they paralleled it to Christian, you know, us, what they were saying was like, oh my gosh.
What an indictment.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was what I left with.
So I'm going to tell again on now. I'm going to tell on Clem.
Uh-oh.
For those of you who don't know, Clem is works for Youth for Christ as well, and you're in charge of the mentoring program, the HATS program, correct?
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So again, Clem, talking from deep experience, working with a lot of wounded youth, and that distinction that you made, Clem, about how they see Jesus as opposed to us. Is and then I think the movie also made the point that Bill Maher he makes the point that if more Christians were like Christ, things would change.
Oh, right.
And I think that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the guy, but
yeah, but he had a good point.
I'd have to, you know, get grace to love him, but he makes me mad.
Okay, there you go. Thanks, Clem.
You're welcome. Bye.
Well, we're going to wrap this up. Again, Lord Save Us From Your Followers is the name of the movie. Dan Merchant is the guy that put it all together. He was about 3 years making this movie. We've had Dan on quite a few times. And then his sidekick, Jeff Martin, who we worked with out of Portland to bring this into the Valley. And I have to tell you, we struggled with it for the obvious reasons.
Yes.
And then we decided, no, this needs to be seen. We know it's going to shake some things up a little bit. We didn't do it for that intention.
Right.
The core of the movie is, the core of the documentary is, it is what it is.
I mean,
you're hearing people say that they came out with an attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
And I think if that's what it did, then it's been successful so
And
far.
As the church, we should be the first one signing up for an attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
Because this is the nature of humility. I know I'm a sinner. I need help. That's the core of my spiritual life. I'm a sinner. I need help. I need to be parented. I need to be loved. I need to be nurtured. I need to be cared for by God.
I think one of the biggest lies that we're living is that we have to be perfect before we can turn around and minister.
That's exactly true. If that's the case,
we're all done.
Exactly.
So minister from where you are at the moment. As the old saying is, a book that I'm rereading now, is find out what God's doing it and join it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop trying to convince God to come over to you.
Right.
Why don't you go to him?
Right.
And if he's working under the bridge, go join it.
Right.
Working over at Hearts with a Mission or Salvation Army or, you know, Gospel Mission, go join it.
It was also interesting to me in the movie, the lady that was in charge of the rock station in Portland.
Yeah.
She goes to partners with World Vision. She goes over there. And the one thing she said I thought was really profound, she said, you know, I saw why and what those people were doing over there. Those people are like Jesus, what they're doing. And I thought, you know, there you go. There it is. Those people didn't say anything to her, but she got the point without any message, without any struggle. She saw the deeds that were obviously meant motivated by Christ.
Why would the world, I don't know if we can answer this in 10 seconds, why would the world have a better understanding who Jesus is than we do?
That's a topic for next week. Because I got something to say about that one.
I'm sure you do. Patrick Doyle, the number to his office is 622-6018. A beautiful office there in Nuna Square in Jacksonville.
Take in that movie.
Take in the movie. It's going to be at Tinseltown through Thursday. It could be extended. We just don't know that yet.
Right. There's
a lot to do with the turnout this week. check it out. Go to the Tinseltown website, find out the different times, and check it out. Mm-hmm. Lord save us from your followers. Tinseltown through Thursday. Thanks, bud.
You bet. Bye.